Good evening and God bless you this evening. Greetings in the name of Jesus. You can say amen to what Daniel already shared. Truly it is because of the precious blood of Jesus that we are here this evening and we're looking forward to commemorating his death, his suffering again on Sunday. I was noticing the words of the first song that we sang, and the words just kind of jumped out at me. Thou true vine that heals the nations, tree of life, thy branches we. They who leave thee fade and wither, none bear fruit except in thee. Cleanse us, make us sane and simple, till we merge our lives in thine. Gain ourselves in thee the vintage, give ourselves through thee the vine. That prayer, I'm sure, that Christ would cleanse us and that we would merge our lives in him, that those words just really jumped out at me, and I believe that's each one of our desire this evening as we think about preparing for the Lord's Supper, preparing to remember what Christ has done for us, remembering that his blood, that we still need that blood every day and that we need to be cleansed every day. And that we continue to merge our lives into his. Beautiful prayer. Make us sane and simple. That's a good prayer for the times that we're living in today. All right, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for a text this evening. I'll be reading some from 1 Corinthians 10 and chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now let's move over to chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now in chapter 10, the first portion that we read there in verses 16 and 17, Paul speaks of the wine and the bread of the Lord's Supper being the communion of the blood and body of Jesus. And I'd like to come back to those verses later on. But before we get to those, before we read those verses, we read about the children of Israel in the wilderness and how that Paul says they all started out drinking of the same spiritual rock, which was Christ, eating the same spiritual meat, he says. They all experienced the miraculous deliverance from Egypt by the mighty hand of God. The plagues, they saw the plagues. They witnessed the Passover. They were part of that, every one of them, the passing over the Red Sea. But sadly, Paul says that even though they experienced all of those things, most of them ended up dead in the wilderness as a result of God's judgment upon them. He was not pleased, it says, in verse 5, with many of them, God was not well pleased. And we know that it was his judgment before their unbelief that he said, you're going to die in the wilderness. Your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness, he said. He was not pleased with them because of their lusting and their idolatry and their fornication and their murmuring and their unbelief. They had turned their hearts away from the miraculous things that God had done, from the good things of God, and toward the things that God hated. And then in verse 11, he says that these things were written for our example and for our admonition. So God wants us to take a lesson from the children of Israel. And I believe that Paul writes these things as warning to us who are Christians of the new covenant. In verse 12, he says, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. It's a warning for us today. Verse 14, Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Those verses show us that we also, like the children of Israel, can fall away into the same lust, into the same idolatry and murmuring and sin, even as Christians who are drinking of the rock of Jesus Christ in the new covenant. And I believe that that is why God saw the need to institute the Lord's Supper. He wanted to remind us again and again and again of the precious sacrifice of his only begotten Son. He wants to be sure that his people never forget the greatest blessing they have ever experienced, the greatest blessing they could ever experience, the most priceless gift that we have ever received. And there is potential within every one of us here, like the Israelites, to become indifferent and to become cold toward the miracle that God has wrought in our hearts, toward the transformation that has taken place in our hearts. There's that tendency within every one of us, to the point that we begin to turn our eyes away from Jesus and toward the idols of the world. Verse 21 is a very sobering verse. He says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." God wants us this evening to have a single eye, a heart that is solely focused on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We are only feeding at one table and drinking from one cup, and that is the table and cup of Jesus Christ. He alone is our sustenance and our life. And so when we begin to turn to the tables of this world, Paul is quick to remind us that that's the table of the devil, and we don't want to have any part. We don't want to be partakers of that. We cannot be partakers of the Lord's cup and the Lord's table, and at the same time be nibbling from the table of the devil. May God help us to that end. Now, verse 16 and 17, Paul says here, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" What does it mean to have communion with the blood and body of Christ? And I really like what Brother Kinley shared in instruction class a week or two ago. I don't think I'll forget it right away. He was talking about this word communion. And by the way, this is the only time I believe the word communion is used in the scriptures, is right here in this verse in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. But the word communion is two words put together, and those two words, this is what Kinley reminded us in an instruction class, those two words are complete union. So this communion, it's the Greek word is koinonia. I'm sure you've all heard that word. It means fellowship is the same word. Oneness is another word that comes to our minds, to my mind. This koinonia, this fellowship, this complete union that we can have is with Jesus Christ, okay? The Lord's Supper reminds us of that union that we have with Jesus Christ, that wholeness, that oneness. Just like the wine and the bread, when it is eaten and it becomes integrated into our blood and into our tissues and into the muscles of our body, it literally becomes a part of who we are, okay? The food that we eat literally becomes a part of our bodies. Just like that, so Christ, so the person of Christ is to be spiritually digested, spiritually received, and integrated into the spiritual fabrics of our being. He must abide in us and become one with us. But were the words of the songwriter, that we might merge our lives in him. Okay, that's the oneness we're talking about. He is in us and we are in him. So the wine and the bread of the Lord's Supper are an emblem of the communion, the complete union of Christ and his followers, the oneness that they can have. And then secondly, we are in complete union with the bride of Christ as well, the church. Verse 17, "For we being many are one bread and one body." We being many are one bread and one body. So that's another aspect of the unity of the communion table. Christ's desire is for his followers to be one. That was his prayer in John chapter 17. It is, he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's us today. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." It's a beautiful picture of the oneness that we're talking about. First of all, we have a oneness with Christ, and then we have oneness with each other. And the church, the bride of Christ, is at unity. It is at one with her groom. This is why we eat the Lord's Supper together. It's not something that we do as individuals. It's not a practice we take on ourselves individually. But it's a sacrament of the bride of Christ. We come to the table as a church. We come together. And chapter 11, Paul makes that very clear. We read some of those verses where there was disorder going on in the Corinthian church, and it seems like some of the people were bringing their own food and eating, and I don't know what was all going on, but Paul was rebuking them for it. He said, "Wait for each other. This is not, when you get together in like that, in that kind of disorderliness," he says, "that's not taking part of the Lord's Supper. That's not how you do it." He says, "You come together and you come in unity and you wait for each other and you look out for each other." I'd like to move on to, I think I'll leave those verses now. So just wanted to bring out that oneness. The bread and the wine are the emblem, first of all, of the oneness that we have with Jesus Christ, and then also of the unity and oneness that we have as the body of Christ. And that is how we come to the communion table. Chapter 11, verse 26. Paul says here, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." It's kind of an interesting phrase there. He says, "We show the Lord's death until he come." And the word literally means preach. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are preaching the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. So I guess we could say that on Sunday morning, we're going to have two sermons. First of all, Kinley is going to preach a sermon. And then the second sermon is going to be when we eat the bread and drink the cup together. We are preaching another sermon. We are showing the Lord's death. We are preaching the Lord's death and suffering until he comes whenever we take of the Lord's Supper. And that's a sermon that reminds each of us, it reminds our children, it reminds everybody present of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made once and for all. I thought about the fact that the Amish, I believe, have their communion service with only the members. I'm not sure if that's quite scriptural according to this passage. I believe it's a tremendous opportunity, especially to tell our children what is going on when they see us eating the bread, drinking the cup together, and they say, why are you doing that? And they always ask, they usually ask those things, and we get an opportunity to tell them why we are doing those things. We're preaching the death and suffering of Jesus Christ until he comes. And then in verses 27 and 28, we have these verses, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread," because we are preaching the Lord's death, we are showing the Lord's death, it behooves us to come, examining our lives, being worthy, being fit to partake of the Lord's Supper. "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So we are instructed to examine our lives And to the word examine literally means to test or to prove. So we're supposed to look into our lives, to search our hearts. I believe we can pray those words with the psalmist that Daniel read to us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I believe that should be a prayer that is on our lips constantly. Because we are a people, even though we have been washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus, we live in this world and we become contaminated. There is potential for us for the dirt and the grime and the dust of sin and the flesh to rub off on us. This summer, I took the time to pressure wash my house. Took me the better part of two Saturdays to do it. And I couldn't believe the dirt that I got off of that thing. I guess that's what happens when you don't do it for, it's probably been 12 years, I don't know. It's been a long time. And I was just reminded of, you know, if I would do this once a year at least, it would be a whole lot easier than spending 5 minutes on the porch railing on every square foot trying to get the dirt off of it. But anyway, just like our houses get dirty, you know, we live in this world too, and we get contaminated. The effects of this world wear off on us, and we need to examine our hearts. We need to let the Spirit of God examine our hearts and prove us and test us. And I believe the Spirit of God is faithful, and we can be thankful that God has given us His Spirit to dwell within us. We're not talking about some kind of washing in our own strength type of thing, or we're talking about examining our hearts by the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit to speak to us and allowing that blood to continue to cleanse us and wash us. And to be open and honest about who we are. I believe examining ourselves requires an honesty about ourselves that sometimes we might not be willing to own up to. We really just need to be honest with who we are. I'd like to read a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think I'll just close with these two verses. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 19 is an interesting verse, and I suppose a sermon could be preached on that verse, and I'm not prepared to do that this evening. But I've pondered already what that means exactly. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. And he gives two things, he says, that are a seal to the foundation of God. The Lord knoweth them that are His. That's number one. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And I, like I said, I can't tell you what that all means this evening, but I do believe that that is a promise, or that is something that we can bring as we think about coming to the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. And that is that we can be assured that God knows us and He knows who we are. He knows exactly who we are. And also, we need to come naming the name of Christ, departing from iniquity. God has given us through the blood of Jesus Christ the power to live over sin. And I don't know why, I'm speaking for myself especially, why so many times that sin still so easily besets us and we don't avail ourselves of that power the way that we should. But may God help us to do that. We want to come knowing that God knows us and knowing that His desire is for us to depart from iniquity. And then He says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So I think He's just using the illustration of a fancy home, a palace maybe, or something like that. He says there's not only expensive containers and cups and vessels in that house made of gold and silver, but there's also cheap ones made of wood, made of, today it would be plastic, and earth. He says some to honor and some to dishonor. And he says, he compares us, our lives, to those vessels. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and I believe he's talking about some of the things he's been talking about before. He says in verse 22, flee youthful lust. If we purge ourselves from the sin that does so easily beset us, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's the kind of vessel every one of us wants to be. We want to be a vessel that is sanctified, that is cleansed. And one of the things that is precious about communion is that, yes, we remember what Christ has done for us and the transformation that He has made in our hearts, but it also reminds us that the blood of Jesus Christ is still cleansing us and washing us right now. We need it. We still need it, and it's still cleansing us and washing us. And we are being sanctified every day, and we need that sanctification to make us a vessel that is clean and a vessel that God can use, a vessel that is prepared to do His work. Not a vessel that is cheap and dishonorable, but a vessel of honor. May God help us to search our hearts and to ask ourselves and to ask God to show us if we are that kind of vessel. Let's kneel for prayer.